for it is in him we live, move, and have our being. What a great day. We certainly thank God for this most noted day, Mother's Day. We do wish all mothers of New Bethlehem a happy Mother's Day, mothers across the country, mothers period. I posted this morning wishing my mother a happy Mother's Day, and the wife and mother of my four children a happy Mother's Day, and I thank God for them. My mother is the only parental figure we have left, and we try to take care of her. And I pray that this day will be a day of respect and celebration, a day of appreciation for mothers for the sacrifices you've made and you've made for your children. Amen. Certainly, I would that we appreciate our mothers. Sometime throughout the day, if your mother's still alive, call her, go by to see her. You can't take her to a restaurant or anything because of the pandemic, but you can have some type of expression of appreciation and gratitude for the sacrifices she has made. Amen. Amen. I want to say congratulations to all of the graduates. Amen. Amen. You have worked hard. You have endured. Now you have accomplished something great, whether it be high school graduation or college graduation, grad school, what have you. You have accomplished. And listen, I want to just say to you, keep God first. Keep God first. I don't care where you have matriculated, where you have studied. Keep God first. God has given you the mind to study and ascertain and to pass your tests and get your degree. And he did it so that you would honor him. I said a few weeks ago, quoting from C.S. Lewis' book, First Things First, that if you put first things will never suppress the seconds. But if you put second things first, second things will always suppress first things. So make sure your life stay aligned and you keep God first. Amen. And the sky is not the limit. Amen. So keep God first. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the joy of the journey. You brought us thus far, and it is you that will carry us on. We bow in humble submission to your will, the will of you, Heavenly Father, the will of you, Jesus Christ, will of the Holy Spirit. Humble us as we stand before your people to preach. Give us preaching grace, courage to preach your word in such a contentious, conflicting world in which we live. Lord, I thank you for keeping us healthy and, Father, settling our minds as we study your word. Your word is rhema, right now word. Your people need a right now word. Help them to know, Father, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto you except by him. Thank you for the brethren that have devoted our hearts this morning. I pray for their families, and I pray their continued strength in you. Thank you for the preachers that are here and those that are listening. Bless their families and keep them strong. Give them courage to face the world with your gospel. Thank you for the praise team. Song so melodiously and blessed us in song, they have tilled ground. So the seed of your word will fall on ground and be productive. Thank you for your people that are here. Thank you for the media ministry. Now, Father, make a connection with us as we preach your word. Pulpit, your people. Let nothing hinder your word. Cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that he gets not the victory, because the victory belongs to you. Save souls. Encourage saints to run on. See what the end will be. Thank you again for Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Reverend Pope has read 18 verses for your hearing, but I only want to read one, and that's verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I want to talk about Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. I was led this way by the Lord to help us to see Christ clearer, which is imperative in the day in which we live, because pandemic seemingly has put blinders on us. And I would that we understand that Jesus Christ has not changed. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I wanted to do like others and preach a Mother's Day sermon. But the Lord said, keep the course. And obedience is better than sacrifice. So Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. John chapter 10 is known as the shepherd's chapter. In John chapter 10, Jesus mentions two types of shepherds: the false shepherd and the good shepherd. He began by exposing the evilness of the false shepherds. The false shepherds Jesus is referring to or speaking of are the Pharisees, who had just cast out the man Jesus healed of blindness. You remember Jesus spat on the ground, made some ointment, anointed the man's eyes, and told him to go wash. And the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. The false shepherds, the Pharisees, had a problem with what Jesus did because Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day. They were livid, enraged, because they gave more emphasis to the day than the man's condition. They were upset with Jesus because Jesus did a God thing on a God day. Because every day belongs to God. Let me say that again. He did a God thing on a God day. But because of their misunderstanding of God's word, particularly in the Old Testament, they had a problem with what Jesus did. And so Jesus said to them, instead of you being concerned about God's people, you are a false shepherd. You are shepherds who injure God's people. They were fulfillments of the law, of the prophecy spoken of by Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other prophets. Particularly Ezekiel chapter 34 verses 1 through 4 says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, all shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." They were the fulfillment of what Ezekiel said. Instead of them healing God's people, they were inflicting injury upon God's people. So Jesus said that they were false shepherds. Brothers and sisters, I would have you to know that all false shepherds are not dead. There are still false shepherds today. There are leaders with a Pharisaic spirit, Pharisaic heart, Pharisaic way, Pharisaic manner. And so here it is. He says you have to know the difference between good shepherds and false shepherds. Notice verse 1. Jesus says, this is how you know. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." He calls the Pharisees both thieves and robbers. He says they are thieves and robbers. We tend to think that thieves and robbers are the same, but they are not. A thief takes a man's property privately. But a robber takes a man's property plainly. A thief steals by cunning in one's absence. A robber takes by violence. The Pharisees were both thieves and robbers. They stole the sheep of Jesus in his absence, and they slew Jesus when he came. They were both thieves and robbers. He says, you will know them because they don't come in the right way. You have to watch folk who are always looking for another way. Another way, an alternate route. Another passageway. He says they did not come in through the door of the sheepfold, but climbed up some other way. Now, to understand what Jesus is saying, you got to understand what a sheepfold is. A sheepfold is a sheep pen. It is a rock wall enclosure of loosely stacked stones that serve to provide protection against the thieves, robbers, and wolves. The sheepfold contains a door that opens for the sheep to go in and out. And at the opening of the sheepfold, the shepherd would stretch out to cover or block the door to prohibit the entering of thieves, robbers, and wolves. Now, Jesus said, because he is the door, he's the passageway to the sheep. Because the Pharisees had ill intentions, instead of coming through him, they climbed over the wall to get to the sheep. That's the picture he gives. See, anybody who will not come through the shepherd has wrong intentions. Let me say that again. Anyone who will not come through the shepherd has wrong intentions. Anyone who disregards Jesus as the door and climbs up some other way has wrong and evil intentions. The fact that they don't enter in through the door tells you what they're about. And you have to watch folk who are not in Jesus. That's all I'm trying to say. People who are not in Jesus, you can't trust. People who are not really, now I'm talking about really, I'm not talking about people to just say, but people who are not really in Jesus, you can't partner with. You can't league up with them because they have evil intentions. Paul says righteousness and unrighteousness don't fellowship with each other. He says good and evil don't fellowship with each other. Righteousness and unrighteousness don't fellowship with each other. He says watch people with a Pharisaic spirit. They false shepherds. Thanks be to God, Jesus is not a false shepherd. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. Here it is in the text. Jesus reveals himself as the good shepherd. And he, first of all, talks about the shepherd-sheep's relationship. In verses 3 through 5, he illustrates a shepherd's sheep's relationship. He says, and the sheep hear his voice. When a shepherd approaches the door to fetch the folded sheep which belong to him, the porter opened the door for him, and the true shepherd who has at heart the interests of the sheep and their supreme owner finds a way made ready for him. He gets to the door or God the opening of the sheepfold. He doesn't go in and herd his sheep. He just speaks to his sheep. There are many flocks, many shepherds' flocks in the sheepfold, all together. But when the shepherd of one flock gets to the entrance of the sheepfold, he gives his distinct call. And his sheep know his voice. And they would come from among the other sheep and make their way to the shepherd. When I was a boy, my dad had cows. And when it was feeding time, he would go out and he would make his noise. And the cows would be in the back pasture. And they would come running from the back pasture to the feeding troughs because they heard his voice. I thought one day I would go out and emulate my dad. And I got out there and I made that noise. Woo-wee! Come on here. And the cows kept grazing. I says, well, maybe they didn't hear me. And I made that noise again. Ooh-wee! Come on here. And the cows kept grazing. Because the cows didn't recognize my voice. See, when you belong to Jesus, you recognize his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. In other words, the sheep knows their shepherd's call, and the shepherd addresses his own sheep by name and leads them. So when he would get ready to lead them out, he would call them by name. I like that. He would call his sheep. You need to note that the shepherd would call his own sheep. By call, the shepherd would separate his sheep from the other sheep that were not his sheep. He called them to lead them to green pasture. Now, David helps us with this, because David in Psalm 23, he tells us who the shepherd is, and he tells us what the shepherd does. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now he didn't pluralize. He made it personal. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Why, David? Because he makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, I'm thankful that God doesn't lead us out to barren lands. But he's good to lead us to green pasture. Now, David said he was lying down. The fact that he was lying down means that he was full, that he had already ate enough to be comfortable so he could lie down. See, God doesn't just give you enough. I'm helping somebody. He gives you more than enough. And he doesn't just lead you to a place of just enough. He leads you to a place of abundance. He was lying down with green grass all around him. Isn't that God? He says he calls by name to lead them out to green pastures. Not just one, but pastures. God has more than one place to feed you. He has more than one place to take care of you.
That's right.
Y'all didn't hear me. Listen, when one place shuts down, God already has another place.
That's right.
If one job plays out, don't worry, don't sweat, don't fret.
Right.
God already has another place. Because God is your shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, and he leads. He leads. Green pastures, pleasant place, plush place, oasis like spots, place of rest. The good shepherd leads us to places to eat and rest. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Notice I said the shepherd leads the sheep. In other words, he doesn't drive the sheep. My mind goes back to Jacob and Esau when they were about to meet up again. And Jacob gave word to send his wives and his belongings before him to meet Esau. And they met up. And God had fixed it that instead of Esau fulfilling his own word to kill his brother Jacob, he fell upon his neck, kissed him, and wept. God had worked it out. But this is where I want you. Afterwards, Esau said, let us go together. Let us travel together. And Jacob said, no, I can't drive my flock unless I overheat them. See, God doesn't drive us. He leads us. Now, there's something in that you need to understand. That in leading us, he goes before us and checks out the place. Because in the east, there were holes in the ground. And there were adders, snakes that would hide. And as the sheep were grazing, nose close to the ground, the adders would come up out of the holes and bite the sheep. So what the shepherd would do is to keep the sheep from being bit by the adders. He would go before and check the holes. Listen, there are holes that the evil snake called the devil has put in our way. But thanks be to God that we got a shepherd who checks the holes to make sure that there are no snakes in the hole to bite us and kill us. He leads. He doesn't drive. He leads us. He goes before us. He calls to lead. But then notice in the shepherd sheep's relationship, not only does the shepherd call, but the sheep know their shepherd. The sheep follow him. And they know his voice. So the voice of the shepherd is the word. The problem with a lot of people called sheep is they don't know the word. And the reason they are going astray or following after strangers is because they don't know the voice, the word. See, you have to get to the point as a sheep in knowing that everything is not for you. You have to understand that what everybody else is doing may not necessarily be what you need to do. And when things come up, you just need to pay attention to your shepherd. Because your shepherd is given to you, the Lord Jesus is given to you, to keep you on course. Don't hear voices. It's a problem today. People listen to a whole lot of voices. There's the voice of self. There's the voice of popular opinion. There's the voice of scholarship. Voices. The voices of religions. Voices. Voices of groups. And cliques. He says you can't give ear to all of those voices. You need to just tune in to the voice of the shepherd. So he would speak, and they would hear, they knew his voice, and they would get in line, and he would lead them out into pastures. Shepherd-sheep relationship. But now, not only that, secondly, notice the shepherd's salvation for his sheep. Verses 7 through 9. Verses 7 and 8. We see the passageway in the shepherd, because Jesus reveals his identity as the door. Notice, if you will, there is only one door that leads in and out of the sheepfold. In the one opening, the shepherd lay. Therefore, the shepherd himself became the door of the sheep. Notice, nothing could enter the fold and nothing could exit without going through the shepherd. The truth, brothers and sisters, if you desire entrance into the fold of God, there's only one door. There's only one door. Jesus is the only door. He is the only door to God, the only way to God. That's why he said in John chapter 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Paul, or Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18 says, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. The unknown writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19, having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He is the only way. And any other way other than Jesus Christ leads to death and destruction. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which goes in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life. A few there be that finds it. Everybody you think going or not. And everybody you think or not may be going. He says a few. A few. A few. Finds this way. He says it's narrow. Not only do I see the passageway in the shepherd, but secondly, I see the purpose of the shepherd. Jesus plainly told all that were listening to him that he alone is the door into God's eternal salvation. Notice in verse 9, he promises that all who enters into the sheepfold by him will be saved.
That's right.
The word saved is sozo in the Greek, which means to have entered the sheepfold. It means to be safe, rescued, delivered out of danger. Let me say that again. The word saved means safe, rescued, delivered out of danger. Jesus says, all that enter in through me, by me, is rescued from the wrath of God. He says, all who enters in by me will experience perfect salvation. See, when a sinner comes to Jesus, he's born again. He or she is forever delivered from the wrath of God. It is wonderful to be eternally saved. Not just earthly saved, but eternally saved. It's good news to me because, you know, there's speculation that you can lose your salvation. But here, Jesus says you're saved. And once saved, you're always saved. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't care what anybody say. You can put me in hell all you want. I'm not going.
Right.
I'm on my way to heaven. I'm saved and sealed. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Ought to have some saved folk in here.
Amen.
Ought to have some saved folk watching who's thankful that the Lord didn't just save you for a little while, but he saved you eternally. Nobody can pluck you out of the Lord's hand.
Amen.
That's a good place to be.
Right.
In the Lord's hands. Storms rise. In the Lord's hands. I stay. People against me. In the Lord's hands I stay. Because nothing and nobody can pluck me out of his hands.
Right.
He says we are secure in the shepherd. Purpose of the shepherd is that we be saved. But not only that, I see the protection of the shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Good news to me. Sheep need defending. Because sheep are prey animals. And largely defenseless. They don't have sharp teeth to bite off their predators. They don't have long legs to outrun the predator. And on top of short, stubby legs, they're carrying around heavy wool. And the heat of the eastern country running with the wool will cause them to overheat. And being skittish as a sheep, sheep needs a shepherd. So the protection of the shepherd is to put himself between the sheep and the predators. Oh, you remember David? David gave his resume to Saul. When the giant Goliath was hurling insults across the valley of Elah, send me somebody to fight. He was talking about God. David made it to the camp to bring his brother's victories. While he was there, he heard Goliath, looked around and saw that nobody else would go out and fight. He says, I'll go. Saul says, wait, man, you're too puny. You're stripling of a lad. He said, well, let me just give you a little my resume. My father owned sheep. And while I was out there tending my father's sheep in the field, a bear came out of the woods and grabbed one of my father's sheep. He says, I didn't turn and run from the bear. I turned and ran to the bear. And I killed the bear to rescue my father's sheep. He says, not only that, there was a lion that came and took one of my father's sheep. He says, like I did with the bear, I didn't run from the lion. I ran to the lion and I slew the lion and took my father's sheep. He said that I am of the lineage of David. If my grandfather David could go and put himself in harm's way for an animal sheep, I can put myself in harm's way for my father's sheep, our greatest creation. You know what he did. Jesus, the good shepherd, he didn't run from Calvary. He didn't run from death. He didn't run from the pain that would be flicked upon him. He didn't run from a plucked beard. He didn't run from a crown of thorns. He didn't run from nail in his hands. He didn't run from his feet being riveted. He didn't run from his back on the cross. He ran to Calvary so he could hang on Calvary's cross because he knew his purpose. He said in the word that no man takes my life, but I lay it down of myself. And if I lay it down, I can pick it up again. I thank God for the good shepherd, that he's not like a hireling, but he is the shepherd of all shepherds. He is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. I thank God for Jesus. Jesus, he hung on the cross. He hung his hand in the locks of his shoulders. He died. Didn't he die? Is there anybody in the room? No, he died. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the stars fell from the silver socket. He died until the earth reeled and rocked like a drunk man, until a centurion said, he must be the Son of God. He died that Friday evening. They took him down from the cross, put his dead body
in a borrowed tomb. I thank God that the tomb would only hold him Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night. But Sunday morning, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. That's why I said you got to stay in his hand, because he got all power in his hands. In his hand is our refuge. In his hand is our safe place. In his hand, no weapon formed against us is able to prosper. In his hand is the healing we need. In his hands is joy and happiness. In his hand is peace. Ain't gone on. Let me hear you say, stay in his hands. Stay in his hands. Stay in his hands. Because the wind is blowing, the rain is descending, but it's gonna be alright, because we in his hands. If you don't mind, in TV land, you need to hold up your hand and say, I'm in his hands. Yeah, I'm in his hands, and in his hands is the best place I can be. Yeah, in his hands, in the shepherd's hands is our safe place. Jesus has a shepherd sheep's relationship with us. I know his voice. I follow him. Did you hear me? Know his voice and follow him. The shepherd has a purpose. He protects. He gets between us and the danger. That's why it's so important for us to follow him. Because he deals with the danger first. And he only allows what passes him what we can handle. We don't deal with the full blunt or the full blow, because he deals with it as the shepherd. He deals with it as the shepherd. He protects us. He killed the snakes. He killed the bears and lions. He goes before us to prepare the way. Protects us. But the ultimate purpose of the shepherd, he came to seek and to save the lost. To save us, he had to die on Calvary. That's why Calvary is such a part of every sermon preached. It's because it's the symbol, the emblem of our salvation. Jesus died on Calvary so that we might live. And I like what verse 10 of John 10 says. He says, the thief, false shepherds have come to steal, kill, and to destroy you. He says, but I've come that you might have life and have it more
abundantly. I told you when earlier that he doesn't just lead us to average pastors. He leads us to abundant. He leads us to abundance. He leads us to pastures that are plush with green grass. He doesn't barely do anything. God abounds. The Lord Jesus Christ abounds. You're not barely saved. You're abundantly saved. You're not barely making it. You're abundantly making it. Trust him. Ask the shepherd, listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here or if you're listening, to me now, you can be saved by simply placing your faith in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And if you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. He says, the day you confess me is the day I'll save you. You can do that today. But not only that, if you're watching, and this pandemic has zapped you of your spiritual energy, your strength, your motivation gone. You barely pray, you barely read the Bible. I'm here to tell you today that you can be restored. The shepherd wants to restore you. If you just simply pray, ask him to refocus you, re-energize you, redirect you. He will do that. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, please write us. Please write us. And let us know that the Lord has led you here, and we will receive you. We'll write you back. I will write you back personally, greeting you and sharing with you the word to strengthen you along the way. We're family. We're sheep of the same fold. I like what Jesus said. Not a part of our reading, he says, of the sheep I have of this fold that are not of this fold now, but I shall gather them and I shall be their shepherd, and they too will be my sheep. He's going to bring us all together. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray for your people that have heard the message today. Massage the word in their hearts that, Lord, they will think on and think on and think on the message for hours, days, weeks, months to come. Father, I pray that those that have been convicted and have decided to make Jesus their Lord and Savior, that you will save their souls right now in the name of Jesus. Those that need to be restored, that you will restore them, revive them now. As I pray, as they pray, those that need a church home, and you have led them to us, Father, I pray for them as well. Bless us, O Father, in our going out as you have blessed us in our coming in. I thank you for every soul that's present on today and every soul watching. I thank you for all mothers, and I pray and ask your blessings upon them today. Give them joy and jubilation. I pray that they are appreciated by their children and others that they have given themselves to parent that are not biologically theirs. Bless us, O Father, with grace and mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. And we pray that it will rule and reign in our lives day by day. Watch over us, Father, as we travel to our places of stay. Help us to recline and rest, think on you, praise you, worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless your people. Protect us from the plague in the land, the pandemic. Thank you for instructions that it's too early for us to gather. Give us, Father, wisdom and knowledge to lead your people, to keep them safe. We know you love us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.